I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Good morning, Seahawks fans, and welcome into the latest edition of Hawks Talk here on CSN. As always, I am your host, Joel Gunderson, coming to you the day after yet another Seahawks victory, their third in a row, this time a 26-15 win over the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. Now, this was another odd game in that it never seemed that Philadelphia was in contention, despite the fact that the game on the scoreboard was never really out of hand. Philly was always kind of just hanging around a little bit, but they never really seemed to threaten. Seattle, you always felt like they had the game in hand, just kind of waiting for them to really take off. Now, 5 days after the team released starting running back Christian Michael, a move that came as a complete shock to many in the area, the franchise had to be all smiles on the first possession of the game because rookie CJ Procise, who now is being handed the majority of the reins, took off on the right side of the field, made one guy miss, went 72 yards for a touchdown. Now, if they could have made a literal statement in any way that they have something special in Procise, that was it. Now, it's important to remember that Michael wasn't exactly lighting up the NFL when they released him. Seattle's rushing offense was ranked 30th in the league. They were averaging just 77 yards per game. But handing the keys over to Procise, who isn't even a full-time running back by trade, and to Thomas Rawls, who made his return from injury yesterday, it's clear the Seahawks are comfortable not only with those two guys, but the slow, incremental improvement of their offensive line. Now, Philadelphia came into the game ranked 12th in the NFL in rush defense. They were giving up just over 100 yards per game. But Seattle would finish with 152 yards rushing, 76 from Procise on just 4 carries. He didn't get a whole lot. 57 from Rawls on 14 carries. And Russell Wilson was steady as ever, finishing with 272 yards passing and 1 touchdown. But the play of the game, something that the team apparently has had up their sleeves for quite a while now, was a beautiful reverse pass from Doug Baldwin to Wilson, who had snuck out to the flat undetected for a touchdown in the third quarter, which iced the game on a lot of levels. It appears we're finally starting to see, on a consistent basis, the Seattle Seahawks team that many fans and experts expected to see all season long. And the trick play to me, to Wilson, was the true test for that. Because that's not something they would have been comfortable attempting 4 or 5 weeks ago. Offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel, head coach Pete Carroll, they would not have had enough confidence in the line and the receivers to block and the running backs to pick up blitzes. But now everything really appears to be clicking. Starting with their Monday night win over the Buffalo Bills 3 weeks ago on November 7th, Seattle's been in a rhythm both offensively and defensively. They scored 31 points against New England, 26 yesterday. Nothing earth-shattering, but really consistent, and that's what they've been looking for, especially in the first half of the season when they had 2 games where they didn't even score an offensive touchdown. Defensively, although they've been giving up some more points than they were earlier in the season, they really seem to be in ball-hawking mode, and that's where Seattle was always really good in the years past. They were ball-hawks. The line especially, Cliff Avril, had a sack yesterday, was constantly in the face of Carson Wentz. And the linebackers, Bobby Wagner, they're all playing with their hair on fire. And like I said, that is what has always made Seattle's defense so frightening for other teams. It wasn't necessarily the points per game they were giving up or the scheme they were running. It's the way they played. There was such an intensity and an anger and emotion just dripping off their faces. And that really seems to be coming back to fruition now. And they don't even have Michael Bennett yet, who's still out, could be coming back next week against Tampa Bay, but he's really that emotional leader on the defensive front. So getting him back into this fold, very, very scary for Seattle opponents going forward. Because they're starting to blow up offensive lines. The secondary is being really optimistic. They had 2 interceptions yesterday. Richard Sherman had one. Cam Chancellor had one. And they're starting to play with the swagger that was gone. We said earlier in the season, and it probably has to do a lot with the offense. When the offense isn't clicking, the defense might have been pressing a little bit, but they're just starting to play the way we thought they were. And they're doing this all despite having played through a number of injuries. Like I just said, Michael Bennett was out, but Cam Chancellor missed a few games this season, and he may be the most important member of that Legion of Boom from an emotional standpoint. He's the guy, he's the big hitter, he's the he's the fire guy. He's what Bennett is to the offense or the defensive line. So to imagine this defense as good as they have been now with Cam Chancellor back now, he's going to get healthy. He's going to continue to get the rust off, and they're going to get Michael Bennett back. And you got to figure that by the last week of the season, if they can stay healthy and avoid any other injuries to other guys, they're going to be at the absolute top of their game heading into the playoffs. And one thing Seattle did yesterday, all game long really, was they made Carson Wentz uncomfortable. Being a rookie, it's easy to get in their head, and that had been their game plan going in. Wentz is a big dude. He's easily 6'5" and 230 pounds as he's listed, and he's every bit that. He's a big guy. And the Seahawks knew that if they just forced him to scramble, make quick decisions, he would be in trouble, and they did that consistently. They only recorded two official sacks on the game, but they made Wentz earn every yard he got. He finished with 218 yards and two touchdowns, but he did throw two picks, and he finished with a quarterback QBR, a QB rating of just 30, which is obviously way below average, way below what Wentz has been doing, especially early in the season. Now, he's come back down to earth a little bit after he started out 3-0, and everybody thought, boy, this guy really is the next big thing there. Philadelphia struggled going forward, and that's expected. You're going to have a rookie quarterback. He's going to go through ups and downs, but we saw yesterday both the flashes of how good he can be, because he does have a really big arm, but you also saw the limitations, and Seattle was able to show that he's not very mobile. He's not going to be able to get out and scramble, and they were able to get the pressure on him and force him out of the pocket where he's not nearly as comfortable. After the win yesterday, Seattle heads now cross-country again next week. They're going to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are coming off a huge road win yesterday in Kansas City. Last week in my preview for the game, I talked about how the Seahawks for the rest of the season are going to be battling complacency. And with the win yesterday and then losses from every other member of the pitiful NFC West, Arizona lost, Los Angeles lost, San Francisco lost, Seattle can essentially be on cruise control for the rest of the season. They have a 3-game lead on second place Arizona with 6 games to go. But this is when things can get scary, because if they play too free, it can lead to silly injuries. In football, that's when injuries happen, is when guys are going less than 100%. Now, I don't think that will be the case because these guys don't play that way. But mentally, it's hard to stay upbeat for every single game knowing that you have you're either expected to win or you're going to clinch. I mean, they could potentially clinch this division and have 3 or 4 weeks to go where they don't have anything to play for. Or perhaps, just as scary, they could lose their mojo. And that comes down to the same thing again. If we're heading into week 13 or 14 or 15, and they've already got things wrapped up, naturally you're going to start, Carroll's going to start reining things in, maybe playing guys that don't normally play throughout the season. So it's going to be a real balancing act. He's going to have to really strike it right going forward between playing the right amount of urgency, knowing when to rest guys, keeping their heads in the right spot before the playoffs start, because just as important as it is to clinch and have home field advantage, which is still in play, being in the right frame of mind and playing the right kind of football heading into the playoffs is oftentimes more important than where your seat is or who your opponent is. If you're playing with the right kind of confidence, a lot of times it doesn't necessarily matter who's lining up against you. That's going to be Carroll's biggest challenge, and that's going to be where he really gets tested to see what kind of coach is he going to be here, because the last time they were in the playoffs making a deep run, it was the Super Bowl. Right or wrong, he's the one who gets blamed with the loss to the Patriots. So there's a lot of pressure on him this year. Last year they went into Carolina and were absolutely destroyed in the first half of the game. They made a comeback in the second half, but they still went down in the second round. So when they make it there this year, a lot of eyes are going to be on Carroll, and it's going to be how he handles the end of this season, the regular season, not just the playoffs, that's going to be a real determining factor. He did speak to the media after the game yesterday.
This is a good ball game for us today. Coming back after the big trip last week and getting a big win last week, and then coming back again and playing good hard football was what we intended to do. And I thought across the board we played really good. I really think Philadelphia's a good team. They're good all around. They play good defense. They run the football. They've got really good special teams, and the quarterback, as you saw, how the guy can do all kinds of stuff. So we were really really respected this one, and so I'm really fired up that we got this done. And from this point on, every one of them is a huge game. Every one of them is going to be, you know, big hype and build up and all that, and we need to be able to handle it well. And our guys did that today, and I was fired up for that. We're going to move ahead. A bunch of big plays on offense today. Russell found them all over the place. Guys made all kinds of catches and runs, and even Russell caught a touchdown pass today. And Doug threw a really good ball, too, and really proud of him. He's got a great rating, whatever it is. But the explosive plays in the running game, for 150-something, that's really what felt right. And that's how we want to look, and that's how we want to feel. And there's no question that CJ got us started with a great couple runs. But we really felt Thomas today, and it was great to have him back out there. So that's a good thing. The bad thing is that CJ got hurt today, and he's got a scapula issue that we're going to figure it out, but he's going to be out for a while. And that's too bad, because you can see what we see in him and how excited we are to have him. And he'll have a chance to make it back, but it's going to be a while. So here comes Thomas, and we'll fill it in as we go. That's why we wanted to save Thomas a little bit at the end of the game. That's why you saw Trayvon get in there and carry the ball somewhat unsuccessfully. But defense came through and got it done also. We played really tough. We took the football away from them. And there's nothing better than us six out of the last seven games haven't turned the ball over. And that's fantastic football, and it takes everybody to do that. It's not just the quarterback. It's the runners and the catchers and guys protecting and special teams and all that. If we keep doing that, we're hard to beat. So that's a big goal for us to keep that rolling. But it is really indicative of good football, and hopefully we can keep that going. Cam and Sherm, I think Sherm had his 30th interception today, career. Just marvelous play on the deep ball by Earl and Cam and Sherm. They came through in a big way and really gave us a good football game. So a lot of great things today.
How's Earl doing?
He's got a little hammy strain that he can feel, and so we got him out of there. We had a couple guys. We had a number of guys get banged up today, and so it's a lousy list. But you saw Shed didn't play. He felt his hamstring Saturday for the first time, and he just couldn't get loose today warming up. So we started him, but he couldn't make it. So we'll have to see how that goes. So we did get some guys banged up today.
With CJ Procise, is there a chance he comes back this year?
There's a chance he comes back this year. Yeah, we have to figure that out. It's going to be a while, though. We won't know until we get all the results and stuff in tonight and tomorrow.
Remy Pope left as well?
Yeah, he sprained his ankle. Got a bit of a high ankle sprain, unfortunately. Just waiting to see him go, and he just never got a chance to get started. So, we'll have, again, the running back spot is one we got to figure out, and it's going to call for Alex Collins to jump back in there and do his stuff, and he's raring and ready to go.
As I mentioned, Thomas Rawls also made his much-anticipated return. He hadn't played since week two. And even that week two loss, he had seven carries for -7 yards. And the first few carries yesterday, it almost took the entire defense of Philadelphia to bring him down. He was so amped up, and he almost got a couple personal foul calls just because of his emotions after the run. And so it was really great to see him out there. Obviously a fan favorite. And if he can channel that energy and really stay focused and stay within the playbook, he has a chance to be something really good. And he also took the mic after the game yesterday to talk to the media.
We did a good job, going out there, playing hard, playing for each other, taking care of the football and coming out with the win. And I'm glad to say that I got out there and contributed as much as possible for my team and helped lead this team.
That first 9-yard run, you were pretty fired up afterwards.
You know me, I'm going to get fired up even after a 1-yard run, I want that energy to not just shed out throughout this team, but this stadium also. And that's one of my main goals. So when I'm out there just trying to bring energy and bring that passion and that drive from this running back position.
I had you about 40 snaps. That seems
I played that many? I played 40? I'm not sure if that was in the game plan, but like I tell you guys, whatever it takes, and I think with the mentality like that and my work ethic, it doesn't matter, whatever it takes to help these guys. And I also know that a couple guys went down in the backfield, and I'll be praying for those guys. But in the meantime, I'm going to have to hold down this backfield. No pressure.
How's the leg feel now?
Leg is fine. Please don't bring it up.
Standpoint and everything to carry the load now?
Of course. Yes. I train myself not like an average person. I train myself to take on these loads. For situations like this, you just never know what come the outcome or result of a game. Not just that, but for personal pride. I work that hard. I work hard. That's all I know. That's all I know is go.
Did you feel Did you feel more comfortable out there than maybe you did the first couple games this season when you played? Or?
Yes, I agree. You know, I feel lighter on my feet. I feel like I can, make more lateral movements and get in and out of cuts and run with a little bit more explosiveness and power. A lot of attributes in my game that I displayed tonight, and I'm proud of myself for that.
Thomas, you had that 18-yard run where you cut back. We've seen you do that so many times last year. What's the key to kind of holding that off?
Just feeling. And not just feeling, I think trust. You know, the big boys up front, man, they work so hard, and people don't understand about this game. It's a tough, hard fought game, and you know, mistakes are going to happen in those things. But one thing about me and all of these offensive linemen and this whole team is built around characteristics, and one of them is just trust. We trust each other, and I trust that, you know, whenever I open crossover lead step and I make that cut, that I can be able to, you know, have a lane and, you know, get upfield.
What was it like in the minutes leading up to the game when you were warming up on the field?
From the first carry, you know, from warm ups, I was calm, I was relaxed, I felt so good, you know. It just put me in a mindset of, you know, about last year around this time, you know, just relax, breathing, just having fun, playing the game of football, not taking it too serious, you know. But it's my job, and also I know I am a leader on this team, and I'm embracing their role.
The trick play that led to Russell Wilson's touchdown catch yesterday, that was the first of his career, and according to him, it came after the play had been in the game plan for a few weeks now, and he kept wanting to get it in. And Doug Baldwin actually made a joke after the game. He said that, yeah, we tried to get it in earlier, but the coaching staff didn't trust me to throw it right, which obviously they didn't worry about yesterday, and they pulled it off to perfection. Baldwin threw a perfect pass. Wilson ran a good route. I don't think Seahawks fans need to worry about Wilson making the change over to receiver. Not near fast enough, and he's pretty good at that quarterback thing he does as well.
I told him on the sidelines. I told Doug, I asked him, I said, is that your first touchdown pass ever? And he thought about it. He's like, huh? I think so. I mean, yeah, that's my first touchdown pass ever. And then I was talking to him about, you know, we can switch jobs if you want. It may not be pretty, but we can switch jobs. But obviously, it's a great play by him, great throw. He got some heat over there on the right side, and he still made a great throw and a good call by Coach Bevel. So we executed it well there.
What was the look that you guys were looking for on that?
Just an opportunity if it was there. So without saying too much, it was the right look.
How long have you been waiting to run that in again?
I think we've been trying to call that for the past 4 or 5 years, literally. We've called it several times, and then it was it wasn't the right look, whatever that look is. It wasn't the right look, and but fortunately we got the right look today.
You scored on one of those in college, right?
I did. Monty Ball threw me a touchdown in college. I think it was against Indiana. So that was always pretty cool.
Do you think catching a touchdown pass sort of symbolizes being all the way back to 100% healthy?
Yeah, obviously, being healthy, obviously, and working to get better. The trainer's done a great job. Drew and Kerry, like I keep saying, we're constantly on it, and it's never going to stop. That's how I always am anyway. Constant prehab work, I call it prehab. It feels great, obviously, to be able to move around and make some plays. And I thought Jimmy Graham had an unbelievable day today, too. That catch that he had on the sideline was third down and long and just kind of scrambled and tried to find something. And he did a good job of turning up and coming back to the football and delivered him the football. And he snatched it away from the guy and ripped away from the guy and races into the end zone. Those are the type of things that he can do, he's an exciting player. I thought Doug Baldwin played a great game today. I believe he went over 100. I'm not sure exactly. But he was fiery all day today, and he made some unbelievable plays. He's, arguably the best receiver in the National Football League, and he's doing a lot of great things. So he's tough to cover. I thought Tyler Lockett did a great job today, too, and made some great plays, too. He almost got in the end zone twice. And then Jermaine Kearse had a good day. And it was exciting to see Thomas Rawls back out there, too. He had some good runs. He had that one catch on the sideline where he took it upfield and just slammed it right into the guy and ran over him. So to have that toughness was key.
With that, here are three things I learned following the Seahawks 26-15 win yesterday over the Eagles. When Seattle gets Michael Bennett back, they may have the scariest defensive line in the NFL. Bennett, Cliff Averill, Frank Clark, Jaron Reed, Tony McDaniel, they go legitimately 8 deep without a ton of drop-off. Now, obviously, they have the 4... Bennett, Averill, Clark, you probably throw in McDaniel in there. That is head and shoulders above the second unit, but the second unit is as good as a lot of starting units in the NFL. And with Bennett having missed a significant amount of time, what that's done is it's given a guy like Frank Clark, a second-year player who has worlds of potential but had not yet gotten the amount of snaps to really find his rhythm, he's had a real chance to shine. Now, they get their big explosion guy back. So now it's not just their explosive playmaking ability that's dangerous. It's also their depth. Number two, Seattle may, and I mean this is a stretch, but sometimes you got to find what three things that you're looking for. But they may have an issue, a small issue, with Steven Hauschka in the kicking game going forward. He hasn't been bad. He was 2-3 on field goals yesterday, but he missed an extra point. But he seems a little bit off this season. He's only missed two on the year. He's 19 of 21, but he's already missed three extra points. And as the weather begins to turn a little bit, now we're in late November, come December, January, that's something to look out for. Yesterday was a weird, fluky day in the NFL. I believe there were 11 missed extra points. A few of those were blocked, obviously, but that has been a real subtle difference in the NFL the last couple seasons, and it doesn't get a lot of attention, but when they move the extra point back, a lot of times you'll see a kicker line up from the hash mark. They're not kicking from straight on anymore because it's a better angle, and you wonder if Hauschka, if it's playing with his head a little bit. Three extra points missed in a regular season, that's not good, and we're only just a tad bit over halfway over, so you would hate, I can't think of a worse way to lose a playoff game than a missed extra point, but if it becomes a point where it's mental for him, that's something they really have to look at as they go into the playoffs. You might start seeing Carroll maybe go for two every once in a while or expanding their two-yard-out playbook because it may come down to a situation in an NFC Championship game or a Super Bowl where they're not comfortable with Steven kicking. Number three, the Thomas Rawls-DJ ProSize tandem at running back just feels better than what Rawls-Michael was. It's no slight to Christian Michael, but Rawls runs with such an aggression and ProSize is so slippery that the two of them paired together perfectly. They'll never be considered an elite duo unless they really both take off. And ProSize is only a rookie, so his ceiling is unlimited potentially. But Seattle doesn't need them to be elite. They need two guys who will take pressure off of Wilson, hit a home run every now and then like ProSize did yesterday, and move the chains, and that's what Rawls does. He's so big and so powerful that he's going to get in there on 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, 2nd and 6, and he's going to move the chains, and that is what they've been lacking all season long. His injury didn't get talked about a lot when he was out because no one quite knows what he is all the way, but he could turn out to be a real weapon that people didn't realize they had in their back pocket, but they have it now. As I mentioned, Seattle heads down to Tampa Bay next weekend. This game is the perfect example of what I talked about earlier. It will be an environment that could lull them to sleep. Tampa does not have a good home field advantage. They're a very average team. They're 5-5, but they have an explosive offense. And just like every game left on the schedule, Seattle should, on paper, roll. But if they're not careful, they'll miss out on a chance to move one step closer to clinching the division. And you want to make sure you clinch it as soon as you can. So if you do have injuries you have to get rested up for, you can. Every game's important, even though they have a cushion. Well, that's going to do it for us here on Hawks Talk. Thanks again for tuning in. As always, I'll be with you next Monday to break it all down again. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and thanks again for joining.